Turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude is the second last book in the Bible. And I'll commence reading from verse 17 to the end of the letter. Jude, I commence reading from verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we again are delighted this afternoon to allow us to be found in your house. Lord, we are grateful for your presence with us this morning and for everything you are pleased to do through us as we gather to worship you. Now, we are grateful, Lord, again for this afternoon. We pray, dear God, that through the preaching of your word, may you reveal your glory and show us Christ. Lord, we plead, hear us, and we ask that your word may find room in our hearts, that as we go from this place, we will be a people living lives of obedience and a people seeking to do that which pleases you and advances your kingdom. Bless the preaching of your word for the sake of Christ. Amen. We have been making our way through the letter of Jude. And as we've been making our way through this letter, what clearly comes out from it is that Jude, as he was writing to his immediate audience and to all of us, was that we need to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. And the agency of it is that Jude recognizes that there are those that have come into the church and causing havoc. And this is a problem in every generation. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are those who come in and notice and begin to cause havoc by teaching what the scriptures does not teach and leading people away from the truth of God. And Jude is writing so that the saints, the beloved, will contend for the faith. And we are now in the last half of the book. From verse 1 and verse 2, Jude reminds the saints of the special relationship they have with God. And then from verse 3, he writes what his goal was to write this letter. And then he begins now to describe in picture language how these false teachers have found their way into the church. And as he does that, he also draws lessons from the past when he brings Korah and their rebellion, when he talks of Balaam and he talks of Cain and the others, to just show that this is also a picture of what was happening in those days of these rebellious individuals in the midst of God's people. And having done that, in the last part of the book, beginning with verse 17, he now begins to show how to contend for the faith. Having given this vivid description of the false teachers, he now begins to show them how to go about contending for the faith. And in verse 17, all the way to verse 23, he brings out imperatives, basically commands on how to go about contending for the faith. In verse 17, he says, remember. What are we to remember? The teachings or the prediction of the apostles. Basically saying, remember what the scriptures say. And then he goes on to bring another imperative in verse 21, and that's keep yourselves in the love of God. And then he shows the third imperative, that's have mercy in verse 22. Have mercy on those who doubt. Then verse 23, another imperative, which is save. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And the fifth imperative is have mercy with fear, hurting even the garments stained by the flesh. And the first two imperatives, remember and keep, gives a sense of agency. That in view of what is happening, you must remember the teachings of the apostles. And then keep yourselves in the love of God. And then the third to about the fifth imperative, which is have mercy, save others, and then have mercy or show mercy. It's another imperative that calls for consistency in the life of believers to live out the gospel in the midst of all these false teachings. This consistency of life is what will show the difference between those who are genuine and those who are causing havoc in the church. And so far we've looked at three antidotes, beginning from verse 17 of apostasy. The first antidote, as I said, was remember the teachings of our apostles. The second antidote was progressing in the faith, as we see in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith. The third antidote was praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And this afternoon we look at the fourth antidote on how to deal with apostasy, and that's keeping yourselves in God's love. Keeping yourselves in God's love. Now remember, Jude is writing to Christians, and so he's basically saying, Christian, keep yourself in God's love. That's how you are going to fight apostasy. That's the antidote to this apostasy. And it is this phrase, the first half of verse 21, that we'll be considering this evening. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And the question we need to ask, what is Jude's central command in this verse? What is he really instructing us to do? What is he instructing God's people to do when he says, keep yourselves in God's command? Now, this is a central command of Jude. This is really what he's trying to say in this last half of the book, when from verse 17 up to verse 23, he's saying, keep yourselves in God's love. And this central command of Jude is surrounded by four participles. And those participles are building yourself, praying in the Spirit, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and having mercy on those who doubt, and snatching and showing mercy, having mercy and saving others. And so what really Jude is doing is that his central command is that of keeping yourselves in God's love. That's what he's really saying. Now, the structure of Jude's argument or presentation here is similar to the way that Matthew writes in Matthew 28, verse 18 through to verse 20, the Great Commission. Matthew, in writing, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and then he talks about teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Now, Matthew's central command there is make disciples. That's the command he's giving. So when he says go, and everything else, he's helping us to see how we are to carry out this command. And so when he says make disciples, he goes on to give us how to make disciples. By induction, by baptizing them, in verse 19 of Matthew 28. And then also by instruction, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so Matthew is saying that the central command here is make disciples. How? You must baptize them. How? You must instruct them. By how do you instruct them? By teaching them all that God has commanded. Now this is a similar argument that Jude is employing here. His central command to the saints is keep yourself in God's love. That's the central command. And then all these participles around this command are showing us how to carry out this command. And how is he showing us there? Is that we must be progressing in the faith. That's what verse 20 is all about. But also saying we must be praying in the Spirit. And then in verse 20, or rather verse 20 is praying in the Spirit. Then verse 21, and the last half of it is persevering in our hope as we wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 22 and 23, he's saying, pulling those who are ensnared. And how are we to pull them out? Is by showing mercy to those who are doubting. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And to others show mercy with fear, hurting even the garments stained by the flesh. And so Jude's instruction is this. Keep yourselves in God's love. In view of all this that's happening, you beloved, keep yourselves in God's love. Now, if you've been observing as we've been making our way through the book of Jude, is that the word keep or the word or kept is something of the favorite word for Jude. Because it appears throughout his letter. For example, in verse 1, and the second half of verse 1, he says, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, when he's now writing about the fallen angels, he says, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains, under gloomy darkness, until the judgment of the great day. And then when you notice also, in verse 13, the last part of verse 13, the word reserved is actually the word kept there. Verse 13, I'll just read verse 13. There is connecting it to verse 12. He said, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. And again, the word reserved there, Jude is basically saying, has been kept forever. And then in our verse there, verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And then in verse 24, he writes, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. So this word keep or kept to Jude is a word he wants to bring out to his audience. And he wants them to see what he's really talking about and to get the punch of what he's saying. And the word keep or kept there gives us the idea of guarding something with diligence. Guarding something with all diligence. And so when Jude is writing in those verses, he begins by addressing the beloved of God. And he says, God the Father is keeping you, is guarding you with all diligence in Christ. He's saying you have this special attention of God. God's eye of guiding is upon you and is keeping you in Christ. And it is the same word in verse 16, only in the opposite. Now, the believers are being kept for the glory of God. But these fallen angels, they also have God's special guiding. But this guiding is for judgment, utter darkness. Even those in verse 13, these were teaching false teachings. Jude is saying, God has kept them for that gloomy darkness. And now here in verse, in our verses, he's saying the exact thing. He's saying, God has a special eye on those who are His. And He's keeping you with all diligence as a special possession in Christ. And now when Jude writes in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, he's actually saying to us, that which has been deposited in us, or the love that we have for God, must be kept with all diligence. And you'll see the connection as we progress. And so Jude's central command to believers is, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And so when Jude speaks of the love of God, he's not talking about that love which God has for his children. Jude is actually talking of the love which man has for God. He's actually telling us of that special love we have for God, whereby we rest in God as the absolute total of all things. Whereby we rest in Him, we cleave to Him, and we find delight in God as the most absolute good. And so what Jude is saying, when he talks of the love of God, is saying to us, that those of us who are in Christ, and say we love God as the highest good, and we find satisfaction and delight in resting in this God as the source of joy, the source of happiness, the source of all our love, we must keep that with all diligence. We must keep it. That love we have for God, whereby we are satisfied in God, and we desire nothing out of God, and we embrace God, and as we embrace Him, we enjoy this infinite, sweetness and security in knowing that we belong to God. And Jude is saying, keep that with all diligence. He's saying this love that sets God in our lives above all things, with no rivalries. This love that looks at God as the sum total of goodness and excellency because of His attributes, because of His being. Keep that with all diligence. Now, the reason why Jude is telling us that is, remember, he's writing to the saints who are infested with false teachings. And those false teachers were teaching people about sensuality and how they can find satisfaction away from God. And as Jude is writing, he's saying that which you found in God, that love you have for God as the absolute good, keep it with all diligence. That's the central command. And that's how you know that you have passed from life to death. When you reach a point and you realize that only God can satisfy. And you pursue that God as your absolute good. And Jude is saying, keep yourselves in that love. And so the application to us believers is this. Guard with all diligence your love for God. Guard with all diligence your love for God. Your love for God is a special possession you can only give to this great God who is the source of love. That's the only thing you can give to one who's the source of love, is you to love Him back and guard that love for God in your life. Guard it. And hence Jude saying, keep yourselves in God's love. It's that you have the duty to guard your love for God. But if that's Jude's central command to the believers, to keep ourselves in the love of God, the next question we need to ask is, how do you keep yourself in God's love? How do you keep yourself in God's love? And obviously you're seated there and you're saying, no, wait a minute. You've just showed me from this one that it is God who keeps Christians in Christ. And if we are kept in Christ by God, why do I need to keep myself in God's love? God has already done it for me. He's secured it for me in Christ, but why do I need to keep myself in God's love? How can we keep ourselves in God's love? Firstly, we Christians keep themselves in God's love by cooperating with what God is doing in their lives. We keep ourselves in God's love by cooperating with what God is doing in our lives. Now obviously, human logic is that if God is doing something, or if something is being done, then I should not do anything. I should just sit and mellow into the situation and enjoy the ride. But that's not biblical logic. Biblical logic is that God is at work, and therefore we are also working, doing something. There is a concurrence of what is happening. God, who is sovereign, is working, and He brings us in into what He's doing. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, is a classic statement of believers cooperating with what God is doing in their lives. Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what the scripture is saying. I know it's a familiar passage. And Paul is just writing about the example of the Lord Jesus Christ from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. And he begins with the word, therefore. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Come on, wait a minute, Paul. I thought Christ has already done that. Why do we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work out, and to work for His good pleasure. It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And there we are seeing the biblical logic that which does not play off God's sovereignty against human responsibility. Biblical logic emphasizes both. And in our cooperating with God's work in our lives, there is this concurrency of care and diligence in our lives. And this is what Paul is saying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's basically saying take care, but also be diligent as you work out your salvation. Why? For God is working in you to will, but also to work for His good pleasure. And therefore, you are cooperating with God and what He's doing in your life, and therefore keeping yourselves in the love of God. You are living in total obedience to what God commands and what God has revealed in your word. And as Christ tells us in John 15, we are the branches and He is the vine. The vine is working and the branches are getting their characteristics and their identity from the vine. And so there's this working together. But one of dependency on the others and yet still working together. And so as we cooperate with whatever God's will is in our life, whatever God is doing in our lives, we are keeping ourselves in God's love. But secondly, also note that Christians keep themselves in God's love by growing strong doctrinally. Remember the central command of Jude is keep yourselves in God's love. And those participants around this command are helping us on how to live out this command. And Jude in verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And he's saying, as you grow strong doctrinally, you are keeping yourselves in the love of God. As you desire to know more of this God and what this God has done, you are building yourself in your most holy faith. And therefore, when error and heresy comes, trying to lead you away from God, because of the maturity in you, you'll see that this is not what the scriptures say. And you desire to know more of God. Your primary focus becomes this indescribable greatness of God. You desire to know this great God, and now this God has shown His love. His love which spans way back in eternity past and into the eternity future, and finds its fulfillment in Christ. And as you stand in amazement, you desire to know more of this God. And as you know more of this God, anything that contradicts this truth will be rejected. And you keep yourself in the love of God. But thirdly, Christians keep themselves in God's love by persevering in prayer. That's what the last half of this 20th chapter tells us. And praying in the Holy Spirit. As we grow in the Word, it will be accompanied by a desire to pray and to persevere in prayer. And as we persevere in prayer, we realize that we can only pray according to God's will if the Holy Spirit in us is guiding us, or as we are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in us. And we pray like this, dependent on God the Holy Spirit, because we realize the futility of praying without depending on the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Because we realize that we cannot pray the way God desires us to pray if we are not sensitive of following the leading of the Holy Spirit in us. And this even becomes essentially true because when we realize our own frailties, our own weaknesses, we realize we cannot do this unless God Himself helps us. And therefore, we persevere in prayer, realizing that the Holy Spirit, who enables us to pray the very first prayer of faith, "Lord, save me," is the same Holy Spirit who enables us to maintain the sustaining life of prayer. And Jude says, if you are to keep yourself in the love of God, progress in your faith, but persevere in your prayer. But also goes on to show us, in the fourth place, how Christians keep themselves in God's love. He shows us in verse 21, by persevering in our hope. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Persevering in our hope. Jude says, if you're going to keep yourself in the love of God, focus your minds beyond this life. Think about what awaits you in Christ. Cast your mind beyond this life, beyond the grave. And as you grow in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, and as you persevere in your hope, you're looking forward to a time when the Son of Man will come and usher you to be with Him. You cast your mind, you're beyond the horizon, and look forward to the future. And you think about your life in the presence of the God of glory. And you persevere in that hope, waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you are waiting for the return of Christ, you are daily contending for the faith. Because this hope that you have, that one day you'll be with Christ, is increasing as you grow in maturity, as you grow in understanding of the Word. And the more you read of God's Word, the more sure and certain you become. That a time will come when I will see Christ. And as you do so, you are daily contending for the faith that contradicts this hope that you have. And in doing so, you are keeping yourself in God's love. But also in the fifth place, we see that Christians keep themselves in God's love by practicing Christian graces. By practicing Christian graces. And that's what verse 23 and 22 is really telling us. And have mercy on those who doubt. Who are doubting what? This awaiting of the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Have mercy on them. Be practical as you deal with them. Jude is basically saying that troubled times in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ always lead to professing Christians to be shaken one way or the other. And you, as the Lord is growing you in maturity, those who are doubting, those who are being shaken because of the heresy or the false teachers around, have mercy on them. Deal with them graciously. Point to them. Show them the hope they have in Christ. Practice Christian graces. But he also talks about save others by snatching them out of the fire. And we'll look at these verses with time in depth, but Jude, what he's really saying is that there must be this approach. Firstly is those who are being misled by false teachers, snatch them out of the crutches of those false teachers. Show them the real truth. But also, we're being encouraged to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is the gospel that sets free. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so when he says, save others, he's basically saying, those who are being misled, snatch them, and those who are leading themselves into hell because of sin, preach the gospel to them. And in others, he says, show mercy with fear, hurting even the garment stained by the flesh. And he's saying, as you deal with such individuals, you yourself, you are being reminded of how easy it is for you to slide from God's love. And as you practice the Christian graces to others, you too are being built in your walk with God and hence keeping yourself in the love of God. And so Jude is not saying pick one of these. He's saying all these must be true of all of us as we contend for the faith, as we are keeping ourselves in the love of God. We must be progressing in our faith. We must be willing to cooperate with what God is doing by being obedient to whatever is doing in our lives. We must be persevering in our prayer lives. We must be persevering in our faith, but we must also be practicing Christian graces to those around us. And these are the reminders that we are still in the love of God, because our desire is to know more of this God and to obey this God and preach His word to all around us. But let's quickly answer the third question. Why should you keep yourself in the love of God? Why should Christians keep themselves in God's love? Christians are very ready to decay and grow careless in their love for God. We need to remind ourselves to keep ourselves in the love of God, because we are very ready to decay, but also grow careless in our love of God. While it is true, as Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, but our experience of that love can be clouded by sin. Sin can so shadow our experience of this love that we begin to grow careless and cold and decay in our experience of this love. The love of God will always be there. Christ has achieved it for us, but our experience of that love, when sin clouds our mind, God is no longer the absolute good in our lives. And when we think as believers that we can have more joy or more satisfaction in sin and begin to pursue sin, we grow cold to the experience of the love of God. Yes, God loves us with an everlasting love. But you can get out of fellowship with the Lord by sinning against God. Read Psalm 51. When David sinned against God, one of the things he cried for is the joy of his salvation. He lost it. And he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He was still a child of God, but he lost that joy. The joy of God's salvation. The joy that shows us that God is the absolute good. There's nothing outside of him that can satisfy us. There's no created thing that can satisfy the God-created vacuum in us, apart from God himself. This is why we must keep ourselves in God's love. Because the longer we live as Christians, it's easy to become careless in the experience of God's love. But also, it is also possible for believers to lose their first love. It is possible for us to quietly slide from our first love. And instead of resting in the enjoyment of this God as the absolute good, we begin to chase other things. It is possible for us to no longer stand amazed at the love of God. It is possible for us to simply become living history where everything is in the past, and we forget that the God we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Instead of us daily enjoying this God who's loved us in Christ, and every day his mercies are new every morning, instead of us basking in that reality, we simply begin to talk about ourselves in the past, and yet we are still alive. It is possible to lose the first love. And Jude reminds us, believers, keep yourselves in God's love. Even after many years of living for the Lord, serving God, never outgrow your love for God. Don't outgrow your love for God. Every day, stand amazed in the love of God, which stems from eternity past and extends to eternity future, and finds its accomplishment in the anguish of Christ on the cross. Do you still marvel at God's love for you? Do you love God more as the years progresses? As you grow in your understanding of that love, do you love God more and more and more? Don't let the trials and the temptation of this life cause you to doubt God's love for you. If the evil one can get you to doubt the love of God for you, then he will open you up to more temptations. Don't outgrow your love for Christ. Keep yourself in the love of God. And this central command of Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God, it's very appropriate and fitting. It's a fitting course for believers to contend for the faith. The summary of Jude is this. If you are a friend of Christ, if you love Christ, then you'll never be in love with heresy that drives you away from Christ. And therefore, you will contend for the faith because you are daily in love with Christ. But also Jude shows us that our fulfillment of these commitments is by remaining in the Godhead, in the Trinity. The triune God is the source of our strength for us to remain in the love of God. And that's why you see Jude mentions the Holy Spirit in verse 20. And then in verse 21 and 22, he mentions the Father. And he also mentions the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jude is saying, remain in God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as you keep yourselves in God's love, He will enable you to contend for the faith. Jude knows that this is not possible outside the Godhead. And there he mentions the Spirit, the Father, and the Son. And we make these commitments in confidence because our confidence is in the triune God, and He's shown His love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day as we live in this world, as we live in this life, the Lord Jesus Christ is daily reminding us that we belong to Him. He's daily whispering to us through the Holy Spirit that we are His and He is ours. And in those trying moments of life, we must keep ourselves in God's love. But the hymn that we'll be singing in closing, the hymn writer puts it this way in the last stanza, in the third stanza. Things that were once wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here. Doubt and care and self resign. While he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. But what's our duty? Guard with all diligence the love of God in your life. Christian, keep yourself in the love of God.